This is Joy Peterson. I am going to be taping in Helen Hester's living room in Jefferson County, Kentucky. And this is interview number 6. This is August 29th, 1983. Helen, do I have your permission to tape you for the archives down at Western State University?
Certainly.
Would you please tell us your full name and spell it for the tape?
Helen Basket Hester, H-E-L-E-N, B-A-S-K-E-T-T, H-E-S-T-E-R.
Thank you. And I would like to have you tell us your husband's name and spell it for us, please.
James Hester, J-A-M-E-S, H-E-S-T-E-R.
And his occupation?
Farmer.
And your occupation?
High school secretary.
We know that you now live in Jefferson County, Kentucky. As far as the biographical data, we'd like to have some idea of where you lived before, or have you always lived here?
I've always lived right here, within 8 miles of this location.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
How long have you lived in your present home?
30 years.
And your parents, where did they live?
They originated from Finchville, Kentucky, Shelby County, and they live in Fisherville, and they just last week celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary.
What are their names?
Lee and Maude Basket.
And your father's occupation?
He's a retired truck operator.
And what is your religious preference?
Baptist.
Would you tell us your birth date, please?
May 31st.
Do you mind telling us your age?
Oh, not at all. 1924. I'm 59 now.
And could you tell us a little about your education? Where did you go to school and what was the highest level you attained?
I went to elementary school at Fisherville, Kentucky, and then I went to high school, graduated from Jefferson Town High School, and I had 2 years of college at Kentucky Southern, which is now defunct, and it's part of U of L now.
When did you learn to quilt?
I learned to quilt about 8 years ago. I had a very good friend who was making quilts, and I watched her long enough to become interested. And I'm quite a hobbyist. I have to be busy with my hands all the time, and I like to make things and like to refinish and any kind of craft along that line. And so when suddenly I ran out of other things that I wanted to do, and when quilts began to make their comeback, I decided I wanted a quilt, and the only way to get it was to make it. So my good friend Mary Haight taught me how to quilt, and since then I've gone wild. I just can't stop.
How did Mary Haight teach you to quilt?
I usually went to her house in the evenings, and she actually helped me to design the first pattern and cut it out and make the trowel run to see if it was all going to fit together, and she's a good teacher. And I started right in on the quilt and had it finished in less than a year.
How big a quilt was it? Double bed?
Double bed. In fact, it was too large really for double bed. It touches the floor. I could have made it about two-thirds as large and it would have been big enough. I don't know how to trim things down sometimes. I have to go all the whole hog.
Well, when you were first learning to quilt, could you describe the type of quilt? Was it applique, piece, pattern? What was it?
Well, actually, the very first quilt I made was not a quilt, and I wasn't referring to that one in what I just said. That was a cathedral window quilt, and they don't consider that a quilt because it is not quilted. At least that's what I understand. And then the first real quilt was a star pattern, a star Bethlehem. It has 9 huge red stars, and it's on a unbleached muslin background, and it's only one piece in it, in the star pattern. Yes, it's a diamond pattern, and then there's just some square blocks to put that together with, and that was all there was. So of course, nobody told me that cathedral window quilt or a diamond pattern in the Bethlehem Star of Bethlehem quilt are more difficult patterns, and that they're for advanced quilters, and I didn't know that, so I had good luck with mine, though. I went ahead and made them anyway.
Who in your family quilted?
No one. No one sewed in my family. I learned to sew in home ec classes in high school, and then sewed all my children's clothes and mine for years and years. And learned by directions, reading directions, and crocheting and any kind of needlework like that. I've learned them all strictly by the book.
Have there been periods in these 8 years that you did not quilt?
No, since I started quilting, I have worked at it continually. However, the last 4 years I've not been as active because I changed jobs and went into one that was much more demanding, and I didn't have the time or the energy sometimes to stick with it like I did before that. I was nothing to quilt 4 hours a day in addition to my regular full-time job, but with this more demanding job I cut it back considerably. Maybe I'm lucky if I get an hour a day in right now, but I hope to retire in 3 or 4 years, and then I will have to live to be 150 to get all the quilts made that I want to make.
Where do you quilt?
A lot of times, it may sound funny, but a lot of times I quilt in bed. I have a floor lamp, it's a gooseneck lamp, and have the TV back there, and I just crawl in the bed and prop up with pillows and get real comfortable, and I can quilt until midnight that way. I have a quilt frame, but I've never used it. I don't have the time to be confined to a quilt frame, and so I always quilt with a hook, and therefore I can take it with me. One time when I was working on a quilt for a contest at Kentucky Museum at Western, I took the quilt every day, took it to work with me in a big plastic bag, and I, at lunchtime and break time, I'd pull that hoop out of the bag and quilt a few minutes on it. And had to do that in order to get it finished in time for the contest, but I utilize every minute of my life. There's no wasted time.
Where do you get your quilt design?
I've gotten all of mine out of books and from pictures. My tastes don't go along with contemporary styles and patterns. I like the old-fashioned ones. I think the old quilts that are made from scraps that the ladies who quilted used what they had. They couldn't run out to the fabric shop and match up these fantastic things that we can do today. And I have a tendency to copy all those old patterns, those old quilt designs and the methods. And I do, or have in the quilts that I've made, have gone out to the fabric shop and matched up my material. But I have some plans for some that are not going to be that way, that are going to be the real old scrap bag quilts. So all of my information and ideas really come from books.
Do you have favorite patterns that you like to make?
I like to work with star patterns. I made an interlock square pattern that was a challenge. I guess really, like I said, my preference is just the old-fashioned patterns, the old ideas. I don't like to even think about going into the new modern or contemporary styles that so many young quilters do today. I'm I'm going to stick with the old one.
What makes a good quilt?
A good quilt to me is one that is well made, that will withstand being hung on the wall or the handling that they get. One that is, that has some beauty to it, that has some, at least a certain amount of planning involved, where it turns out as a picture rather than just a conglomeration. And I think a good quilt should always have a border. I think the way that the quilter pieces it together and the way she hides her seams and so that they don't show through, so that if you, for example, if you have a white material in it, then you don't want to see a seam lying under that. I think naturally small quilting stitches make the best quilt.
Why do you make quilts?
I make quilts for two or three reasons. One is so I can have lots of quilts. Another is that the satisfaction that I get from it, that it's therapy to me. I have to have something to clear my mind, to be able to sit and relax and yet have my hands busy. I, as I said before, I can't waste any time. Life's too short. I have to have something constructive going all the time, and therefore a quilt to me is the most desirable thing to do. I like to quilt because, well, I think I'm going to repeat myself, but I think it's just, I like the idea of making something out of nothing. I like to take scraps and small pieces of material or anything else for that matter and make something out of it.
Which do you prefer, piecing, appliquing, or the quilting itself?
I prefer the quilting, but it's kind of a toss-up between the quilting and piecing. I haven't gotten with the applique yet. I have some that I want to do, but I just haven't been able to achieve that yet.
What are quilting bees or quilting parties, and you look at them as being different?
Well, I look at them as being a productive, useful way to spend time and get quilts made. I like the idea of quilting bees are groups that everybody shares and everybody pitches in there and they get quilts done in a hurry. I haven't been too active in that aspect. I have been in one group that helped a lady who was handicapped to get a quilt finished that she started, and I was dismayed that everybody there, and a lot of these ladies were not quilters, but every lady did different style stitching and different length stitches, and I was sitting there trying to make my stitches look like everybody, like those around what I was doing, and it was kind of an impossible situation. I think that a real quilt group that is formed for that purpose, I'm sure they handled that problem very nicely. I think there are advantages to it. I've mostly been a lone quilter because I don't have the time yet to be a part of a group, but I think that the day is coming when I will be.
What is a Kentucky quilt?
To me, a Kentucky quilt is one that originated right here in Kentucky that was made by a Kentucky resident. And I even like to think of a true Kentucky quilt as being one that was back in the old days when they raised their own flax and so forth and made their own materials, and it was completely made in Kentucky. Then in various regions, I think there are trends, and I think has been a trend in Kentucky for the kind of quilt that I described earlier that I like, that the quilter used whatever she had on hand. She wasn't able to go out and buy and match up material, and so it seems to me that I find more Kentucky quilts that are this type quilt, that just the old scrap bag quilts.
Have you ever taught anyone to quilt?
Yes, my co-workers, when they would see me working on quilts, they got the bug too, and I have, on lunch hours, I have taught. That isn't a very ideal way to teach, but I have done quite a bit of that. And you'd be surprised how successful it's been. Maybe they don't make anything but a pillow top, but at least we're progressing and they're learning the techniques.
What patterns did you use?
Well, we used 9-patch and Dresden plate was a popular pattern.
Traditional?
Uh-huh, traditional, yes. I don't do that now because my job has changed and I'm not where I have those nice long lunch hours now. Being in a high school, I can't carry on with my quilt work.
What kind of job was that?
That was manager of a word processing center for a special education division. And word processing equipment it's been around a long time, but most people didn't know about it until just the last few years. It's a kind of a pre-computer type thing, with automatic typewriters that store and replay material. And on that job, I had a 45-minute lunch hour, which was easy to sit and quilt. But now in a high school, I have 20 minutes, and there's no way that I can quilt on my lunch hour now. That's why I look forward to retirement, so that I can really hit it gung-ho.
You have any quilt books?
Yes, I have several.
What are your favorites?
A Quilts in America is a good one, I believe that one's by Holstein. I don't choose the kind that have lots of patterns and directions in them. I don't mean to imply that I don't need that kind of help, but the others that show, give lots of history and a lot of literature and background of various patterns, in other words, historical aspect, are what I collect. I have nearly all my books are like that. And then I have some of different museum shows that publish their books and show lots of pictures of them. And so that's where I get my ideas, is just going through those pictures, those old antique quilts.
Do you have any favorite quilt magazines? Did you get any quilt magazines?
Yeah, I get lots of them. I get the Quilters Newsletter and Quilt World, Quilt Omnibook. Seems like I get one more.
Ladies Circle Patchwork?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Now, which of those do you really prefer?
I think I prefer the Quilters Newsletter, but Ladies Circle runs close.
Do you take any patterns from them?
Yeah, the interlock square pattern that I made was from the Quilter's Newsletter. And the big red, the best Star Bethlehem quilt that I mentioned was from Icky's, I think, standard book of quilt making. It was right out of that book.
Do you follow the patterns exactly when you take them from these magazines or books, or do you change them some?
No, I don't change the patterns. I even copy the the colors and planning of the print to a great extent, because sometimes I feel I'm not that original, that I can go out on my own. Maybe when I get to quilt more, maybe I will be, but right now I'm pretty much of a copycat. I'm a musician also, and I have never been too original. I like to play the old goodies and just stick to the tradition.
What music, what instrument do you play?
I play the accordion.
What do you do with your finished quilts?
Just keep them and love them. My children, grandchildren, will probably see that they get them someday. I haven't been able to part with any, but I haven't been able to make that many. I admire the quilters I read about who have made 100 quilts or 200 quilts, and they've made everybody in their family one. And I can't accomplish that because of time, but maybe one of these days I will. I like to collect quilts, but I really haven't done a lot of that, but I've had a few friends who know that I'm a pack rat and know that I like to, or that I take good care of this kind of thing, and they have handed along one or two to me that they know that it's safe with me.
What do you do with old quilts when they begin to wear out?
Well, I try to reinforce them and preserve them. I try not to let them go to pieces.
Would you be inclined to make them into clothing or pillows?
No, I don't go for that at all. I like to leave them alone. I think that is spoiling some good old quilts that need to stay around. I think for clothing and pillows and the things you mentioned, clothing wouldn't hold up too well out of an old, well-worn quilt. And about all that I think you can do with a really old quilt is just preserve it like it is.
Have you had any quilts in shows, contests, state fairs, that type of thing?
Yes, I've had them in shows at the Kentucky Museum at Western, the two that I've been mentioning. The Star of Bethlehem, I think it might have been 1977. That I entered that one, and my friend Mary Hay called and asked me if I'd like to, for her to take one of my quilts to the museum for a quilt show, and I thought, well, yes, that would be great to have a quilt chosen to be put in a show. So I let her pack it up and take it with her, and about 2 weeks later the phone rang and they said, you won first place. And I said, first place in what? They said, in the quilt contest. And I said, I didn't know it was a contest. I was in the beginner division. So that was quite encouraging. So I got busy and made the quilt, another one in the next year that I mentioned that I carried to work with me every day, the Interlock Square, and really had to work hard on that one, because 6 weeks out of that time I had to do some traveling and wasn't able to work on it. And so actually I guess I made that quilt in about 6 or 7 months, took it down, and it also won first place. So I was so thrilled about that, but I decided that it's just too demanding to make a quilt a year with my full-time work. I'll do that a little later.
Now, the museum you're talking about, would you give us the full name of it? I assume it's down at Bowling Green.
Yes, it's Bowling Green at Western University, and I think it's a Kentucky museum.
Is it like Natural History Museum, or is it an art museum? I'm just not acquainted with it.
It's probably Natural History. Now, those 2 years, and that's the only time I visited the museum, they had it, the museum itself, the building itself, closed down for remodeling. And they were holding this in one of the halls. And they had like displays of antique furniture and a few tools and so forth, but I'm not just sure. The museum is open now. I guess it's natural history. I really am not too well informed about that.
You've not entered any quilts in the state fair.
No, I haven't.
In your opinion, pardon me.
Well, excuse me, I have entered a quilt every year over at American Accents. The last, I guess, about 3 years. And it's been nice, a nice surprise to walk in and find it hanging up on the back wall.
Describe the quilts that you've had in American Accents.
Crazy quilt made with, it's a copy of an old-fashioned quilt of velvets and satins and lots of embroidery, heavily embellished with embroidery and trimmed with a black velvet border, has a red lining. And then the Star of Bethlehem quilt's been over there in the interlock square, and then I have a dollhouse that has a little doll bed, and I made a little 9-patch square quilt for that that's about 4 inches by 6 inches. That went over this past spring. Let's see. I can't remember if any of the others have been over or not.
Did you win any prizes at American Accents?
No, it wasn't a contest.
It wasn't a contest.
That's right. The one at Kentucky Museum was a contest, but that was, no prize was involved with that. That was just certificates.
In your opinion, has there been any change in people's attitude about quilting?
Oh, yes. I've seen a tremendous change. With my own attitude as a first prime example, I've always appreciated quilts, but it wasn't until like 10 or 12 years ago that I really began to see what a quilt was and what went into it, and I think I was awakened to quilts a little bit sooner than most people, but a few years ago, I think as recently as 15 years ago, you could find quilts just about anywhere. Now, you can't find them, and if you do, they're quite expensive, which I don't begrudge. The ladies are entitled to a lot more than they're getting for their quilts, money-wise. But people are really grabbing them up now, and it's just amazing that just in general conversation at work or at church or wherever, how quilts will come into the conversation anymore. It seems that everybody's aware of them now.
What is the value of quilting?
To me, the value to me is the therapeutical aspect of it. I can be completely exhausted and sit down with my quilt and my frame and my needle and thread, and I become a different person. I think another value of it is the heritage that it's leaving for future generations. It's so interesting to us to go back into, even back into the 19th century, and try to learn about the quilts and the ladies who made them. And so many of them aren't documented, and now I hope that everybody is documenting their quilts with a little information about who made them and where and when. So that I think this is a value that we're passing on to the future generations. There's so many values, as far as I'm concerned, about any kind of needlework that I can't get enough of it. I can't do enough. I just would be content to let my house go, let the dishes pile up, and do nothing but quilt, work with needlework.
What are your favorite colors that you use and why?
I like the brown earth tones. I think that's because they're my colors. I wear those colors best, and therefore I look for them in my wardrobe, and with my home I like those colors. The blues and the reds are pretty, but I'm more inclined to choose a subdued pattern when, or set of colors when I decide to get down to business without a quilt.
What are your favorite fabrics?
Cotton.
Do you use 100% cotton or do you use blends?
I have used blends very often. I really don't see anything wrong with them, but I like cotton when I can get it. I think mostly because we know what how cotton is going to hold up. We're not too sure yet just how long the blends are going to hold up or how well they're going to hold up or how well they're going to mix with cottons or other things, but I have used plenty of both.
What about your thread as far as cotton or polyester?
I like cotton thread.
100% cotton.
Right.
Do both pieces. This is September 1st, 1983, and I am Joy Peterson. I'm in Helen Hester's living room in Jefferson County. And Helen, do I have your permission to tape this interview?
Yes, you certainly do.
Thank you. Because of my problems with my tape recorder, the second half of our interview was not taped. This is tape interview number 7 for me, and it will be a continuation of tape interview number 6, both of them with Helen Hester. And I will start with my normal set of questions at the place that we ended tape interview number 6, which was a discussion of the types of threads that you use, Helen. Would you reiterate again what you like to use as far as the thread for your quilts?
I have always used quilting thread in piecing and quilting. And a time or two I have used a colored thread, but it's always a quilting thread. I don't feel that the polyester thread is strong enough to withstand the age that I hope my quilts will attain.
Is it usually 100% cotton?
Yes, it is.
Do you have difficulty getting the 100% cotton in the different colors that you might want?
It's not always available. I discovered my first colored quilt thread at Arlington, Virginia at Quilt Congress and brought home a treasured spool of red quilting thread. But I understand that it is available on occasion at some of the stores. I have seen it in navy blue and some, but not recently. I can't tell you right now whether it's available or not.
What type of batting do you like to use?
I like polyester batting. I don't like the idea of the cotton batting simply because one would have to quilt so heavily and so close together to keep that cotton batting from splitting or coming apart, as in old quilts that we have that are left that had quilt batting, had cotton batting used. If they weren't quilted pretty close together, you would get lumps or holes in your quilt, and therefore I stick with the polyester. However, there are two new kinds of polyester on the market now. One is called traditional and one is called classic. The traditional is not as heavy and thick and puffy as the ordinary polyester batting, and the classic is almost as thin as a blanket. It's appeals to me because it would make my quilts look really like the old-fashioned quilts did. So many of them they used, of course they had their various methods of cotton or wool that they combed to use in those quilts, but they didn't have access to the kind of beddings we have, so therefore a lot of times they used a sheet or a blanket or something they concocted to put inside their quilts, but it always made a thin, flat quilt. And I think this classic bedding is going to be my new thing because of the appearance that it'll give.
I wonder if you're referring to the Polyfill brand Cotton Classic, which is 80% cotton and 20% polyester, or do you know what the brand is when you say classic?
I have seen this at the TGNY stores, and I thought, I don't know, it might be Polyfill, but I thought it was
Mountain Mist?
Stearns and Foster,
I've been concerned about bearding. You know what I mean by
yes,
bearding?
Yes, I do.
I've been concerned about bearding with polyester batting in the dark fabric areas of a quilt. And I was told that yours truly polyester batting did not seem to beard as badly as Mountain Mist batting. Have you had any experience with bearding?
I've had no problem with it, but I've read plenty about it, and the batting that I have always used has a coating on it.
A bonding,
uh-huh. And I've had no problem with it bearding with my material. Now, some of the material I have used in some of the quilts you've seen today have a mixture of all cotton and polyester blend. And I understand it's a polyester blend that it bears through, but I've had no problem because of this bonding. That's an interesting question. Interesting thought.
Jenny Beyer, I'm sure you're acquainted with.
Yes, I know Jenny.
The fact that she's a nationally known quilter. She teaches that for this appearance that you're wishing to have, this traditional appearance,
mm-hmm.
that you take the Polyfill brand Cotton Classic and wash it in your washing machine, and after it has gotten thoroughly wet, you do not let it run. You do not do anything but just put it on spin. And then after it spins, you put it in the dryer with a towel if need be and let it dry, and that takes some of the bonding off. And this makes it easier for the needle to go through. So some people are experimenting with that, and it's what I've done on a recent quilt.
Have you had good luck with it?
Yes, but I'm very new at this, and it's my first quilt.
Uh-huh. I've had no experience with that, but since I'd had no problem with the bearding, I hadn't had any desire to experiment around. I'm in favor of keeping the bonding on the material to keep it from bearding, so I don't know what you would run into if you remove
right.
that.
We discussed earlier your the fact that you really preferred to work with the hoop rather than with the floor frame. Was there anything more you wanted to say about that at this point?
Well, it is so convenient for me because it's so mobile. I can sit anywhere and use the hoop, and I've taken it to lunch with me, to work with me, and quilted on my lunch hours. I have taken it to friends' homes, to meetings, doctor's offices, and then my therapy is quilting and needlework, and it's been very common for me, as I said before, to crawl into bed and relax with the TV and a good gooseneck lamp and just quilt away. And in the wintertime, it's a nice warm place to be, and also the quilt doesn't get down on the floor. It's in a nice clean place because you can spread it out over the bed and just work around with the hoop. As you finish one spot with a hoop, you start in the center and then work in circles around the beginning spot. And it's been a very convenient, handy, as well as relaxing method for me.
How have the materials used in quilting changed?
Well, of course, they had nothing but cotton and wool and linsey woolsey and things that could be made from those two kinds of material back years ago, and now we have just a number of things from cotton to cotton polyester blend to double knit polyester fabrics, and there's just an almost endless variety of material now that you can choose from to quilt. It's my understanding and been my experience that the polyester cotton blends quilt very nicely. They're easy to handle. The needle goes through it very nicely, maybe more so than strictly all cotton. I, being so traditional, kind of follow the all cotton idea because I want my quilts to be like the old fashioned ones, but for no good purpose except my own liking.
I understand from our previous interview that you have not appliqued, am I correct?
No, I haven't done any applique, except maybe a Dresden plate pattern on a pillow top, but that's, well, I have made some quilt blocks that for exchange purposes that have little applique seams on them, like something to do with the Derby at Churchill Downs with horses, or I made one block that had the balloon race on it, one block that had, it was an old-fashioned scene with a little old lady in her long dress and her dough bowl full of dough on the table, but she was busy looking out the window at the red bird, and the dough had risen and fallen down on the table and all over the floor. It was cute, but now I'm not, that's not my thing. I have not made an applique quilt. That's only been a pillow top or a block.
What makes a good quilt stitch and why?
A good quilt stitch is a short, even one where you have as many stitches as you can get in, say, an inch, and they should all be the same length on both sides of the quilt. And of course your notch should be hidden, and when you tack it off that should be well concealed. Wide loose stitches make for an unattractive, poor quality, in my opinion.
Can you describe to me the way that you do tack off a thread after you're through with a particular length of thread?
Well, all the books say to do two back stitches and then clip your thread. I do the two back stitches, but I'm most apt to go on and conceal some tiny, tiny stitches and then work my way through maybe an inch or so away from where I'm going to, where I tacked it, and then clip it. And then there's a long piece of thread under there that is a security measure for me.
If you ever embroider on your quilts, do you use cross stitch, crewel, or another type?
On my quilt that I embroidered, it's a crazy quilt made with lots of velvets and satins. It has a large black velvet border, and I have used just regular embroidery floss. There may be some cross stitching on it, but there's all kinds of stitches. I have a book that, written by a lady from Oregon, her name escapes me right now, and she wrote this book on every embroidery stitch she could find. And I met her at the quilt show in Lincoln, Nebraska. And I have copied as many of her stitches as I could, and I've looked at pictures and I've embroidered, just embellished it as heavily as I can, and I'll probably never be finished with it. I'll always be embroidering some more on it as I feel like it. I use strictly embroidery floss and just any stitch that I can come up with that's a pretty stitch.
Is it convenient for you to get that book so we could put it at this point on the tape, or do you think you could put your hands on it?
I could put my hands on it.
Well, I think it would be good for us to break so that we could actually insert that at this point,
okay.
If you don't mind.
That'd be fine. I'd be glad to.
I appreciate you getting that, and I see you've gotten some other ones that maybe we can insert those on the tape too.
This is called Embroidery Stitches from Old American Quilts by Dorothy Bond. And Dorothy Bond lives at Cottage Grove, Oregon. And this book was published in 1977. And I even had her to autograph it for me. And it's a well-done book. It's very easy to follow. It looks like they're hand drawings of hundreds of stitches.
Doesn't look like the kind of thing that's going to be in your regular quilting stores, though, somehow.
No, but it can be ordered. I'm assuming it,
you
could
think it can
still be ordered, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll put copyright 1977 by Dorothy Bond, 34706 Row River Road. That's ROW River Road, Cottage Grove, Oregon, 97424. So I would presume that's where inquiries could be made. It does look very comprehensive. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Are there other ones there that we can put on the tape? The interview number 6, we talked about some books, and it'd be nice if we could go ahead now and put on anything that you brought to
These are the books that I mentioned. Quilts in America by Patsy and Myron Orlovsky. I understand he passed away about a year or two ago. It's a very interesting book with lots of history and lots of pictures. Not many, if any, patterns.
Now that's a hardback.
Yes, that's a hardback.
A
book.
Traditionally bound, heavy book in the category of a $25 cocktail
right.
table book.
That's right.
And it's, this is a name that most people know, but I still think I will spell it. The authors are O-R-L-O-F-S-K-Y Orlovsky, and it's McGraw-Hill Book Company, Quilts in America. And what else did you have there?
I have The Peace Quilt, an American Design Tradition by Jonathan Holstein. That's by Galahad Books in New York City. This is available, both these books are available on the bookshelves in at most quilt counters and bookstores. Various bookstores around town like Holly Cook, Walden Books, they usually have these books.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one is A Gallery of Amish Quilts by Robert Bishop and Elizabeth Safonda. Now Elizabeth Safonda was here in Louisville in 1979, and she signed my book for me. She is very interested in Amish quilts, has quite a collection of them. She brought dozens of quilts with her. The gallery at on the campus of U of L was absolutely fantastic. The display was just took your breath. Amish quilts have grown on me. I think they have to on a lot of people. They, at first glance, you may not be too impressed with them, but once you learn about them and find out what they represent and how well made they are, and I'm speaking of the strictly old Amish quilts. If you go to Lancaster, Pennsylvania now, where the Amish make most of their quilts, you will find just modern quilt kits and things that we all make today. But these older quilts are really collector's items now. And if you ever have a chance to examine one, do so, because you don't know what you've missed. And this is a book that you probably can order too, and it's available on the bookshelves also. My taste in books go toward the historic write-ups and the pictures. I don't necessarily buy books that go with pattern ideas. At this point I don't find that I've needed them.
stuck in one of your books here. I see the 4th annual quilt competition at the Kentucky Museum, Western Kentucky University. Was this one where you won in the...
No, I won in the first two.
You won in the first two.
And I wrote and had them send me the booklets of the 3rd and 4th one so that I could read about the quilts because
mm-hmm.
I was unable to enter one in those shows.
Mm-hmm. Was there anyone locally here in Jefferson County that won?
Not that I remember.
Mm-hmm.
On the first two, it's quite interesting that my teacher, Mary Haig, who took my quilt down with her to the show, I won first place and she won second, I think. The second show, though, she had been, you have to be quilting 5 years to be considered an experienced quilter, and by that time she had passed the 5-year mark and she entered hers in the advanced show and won that one. And so did her sister Nell Charlton win first place in one of the categories, but I won again in the beginner, but I have not entered anymore.
Mm-hmm. You're about ready for that.
I'd love
advanced
to,
category now.
I'd have to go in the advanced category now, and I just can't wait to get back into it.
Well, what
level.
Project do you have going at the moment?
I'm making doll quilts. One I'm making right now is a crazy quilt pattern that's the exact copy of the large quilt, crazy quilt I made. In my quilt group, we draw names and make each other something for Christmas, and I made one last year and gave to a lady, and another lady said, oh, she'd love to have one. And I said, well, if I draw your name, you shall have one, and I drew her name, so she shall have one. They're just little, maybe 20 by 24 quilts, made just like a large quilt, embroidered.
What size seam allowance do you have in a baby quilt or in a doll quilt?
They're like a big quilt, 1/4 inch.
And then you trim them?
Mm-hmm. Yes, because when you're working with velvets and satins in a crazy quilt, and the kind of materials I am working with, you do have to be careful that you don't have bulky seams.
Well, what is this quilting group? We didn't get into that on the other tape. I'm curious to know who's in your quilting group, how it was started, when you meet, and things of that sort, if you care to tell us.
I was secretary at Moore High School for a long time, and the reading teacher, Louise Markwell, became a good friend of mine, and during the summer when I had to work and she didn't, she'd invite me to her house for lunch, and I began taking more than myself. I'd take another friend or two from the office, and one thing led to another until we had the sewing group going, and it began with mostly teachers and personnel from Moore High School. We've been meeting about 10 years now, I guess, and we meet in each other's homes, and there are 7 of us. We're very unorganized. We don't have a president and any officers, and we don't keep minutes. We just keep up with each other. And Louise Markwell and I are the oldest two members, oldest in membership, I guess. And then there's Elizabeth Goble, who was a science teacher at Moore High School, and Benita Roop, who's is not affiliated with the school except through her husband, who is the ROTC sergeant that teaches the ROTC Air Force unit at Moore High School, and then the commanding officer, Colonel Housen, his wife's name is Frida, and Frida is one of our group. And then there's Virginia Coleman, who is a specialist in the special education division with Jefferson County Public Schools. And she likes needlework and quilting. And then there's Norma Walker, who was a bookstore manager at Moore High School, who's now in a different job.
How often do you meet?
We meet once a month. And the Housams are selling their home and retiring and moving to Colorado. And we'll be gone by the first week in October, so we're going to be back to 6 shortly.
To get back to our set of questions, do you sign your quilts? And if so, how do you sign them and why?
Yes, I sign them with my name and address and the date that they were finished. then I enclose them in a little symbol that therefore creates my patent on that quilt. And I do that for protective reasons as well as historic, so that we'll have a record of it. Too many of the old quilts that we have now, there's no record of who made them or when. And I think it's a good idea to even write up a little history or some story surrounding that quilt so that it would be on record when it's passed along.
Do you make up your own designs for your quilt?
No, I'm not too original. Maybe if I had more time I would be, but I'm so fond of old-fashioned patterns that I always have something that's already in existence that I want to copy. I want one like it, so I'm very inclined to go after something like pictures out of these books. I've copied some of those, or see a quilt in a show and try to make my quilt after that idea. I don't design my own.
What's your favorite quilt pattern?
I think anything with a star in it always catches my eye. I will go back and take a second look if they have stars.
And what colors would you likely be making your quilt?
I have used a lot of bright colors, but I'm more inclined now toward the earth tones and greens. I like the browns and tans and beiges and greens and anything earthy looking.
Do you belong to any quilters organizations?
No, I don't. Just this one group that I mentioned that we're the unorganized group. Once in a while we call ourselves the so-and-sos, but I don't belong to any professional organizations. I plan to later on when I have time to attend and be active.
What older quilts do you own?
Through my son-in-law's, his name is, everybody calls him Top, his name's Top Palmer. His grandmother left some quilt tops that I fell heir to that are, I don't know that they're real valuable, but they're old. One is a crazy quilt. Seems to me it might be made of wool. It's a lightweight wool if it is. And it's embroidered very nicely. And then I have one that is log cabin pattern made out of satins. And then I have an old quilt that I would be ashamed to show you, but there's so much sentimental value to it that I wouldn't take anything for it. I found it among my mother-in-law's belongings after she passed away, and it was a very ragged, ratty-looking old thing that I thought, why in the world did she save this? And I decided to bring it home and save it because I was afraid somebody else would throw it away because it was that ragged. And one day I discovered that underneath the ratty, torn up, worn out top on it and the backing on it was another old quilt. And I patiently uncovered that old quilt. And it's also tattered, but it is an old, old quilt with a turkey red, and it's a star pattern, and it's just falling apart. But it's a pattern that I had not seen, and it's put together with strips, and the stripping is pieced so that it forms diamonds. And it's very interesting. I really don't know how old it is. And as I say, it's of no value except sentimental, but I'm going to cover it with netting just to preserve what's left of it. I'm known as a keeper. And when friends or relatives have something that they don't know what to do with it, and they want it put in good, safe hands and give it to me. So I've inherited a few quilt tops and a few things of that nature that are old, and they need to be quilted, and I hope to get to it someday, but that's just because they know I won't let anything happen to them. And that's about the extent of the old quilts I have. I don't think any of them are really anything outstanding as far as a collector would want.
What can you tell me about quilters in your family that we have not already discussed?
I can remember in the 30s when I was a little girl that my mother belonged to the Homemakers Club, and they have various projects from time to time, but one of their projects was piecing quilts, and they were all making, it seems to me they were making each other blocks of a flower basket, yes. And I can remember that Mom didn't finish her quilt, but there were blocks that stayed around for a long time. Now I wish I had them. I don't know what happened to them. But they weren't very good blocks because different people made each one, and they weren't all the same size, and they obviously wouldn't have fitted together very well. That's the only thing I can remember in anywhere in my family about any quilting. One of my grandmothers passed away before I was born, and I understand she was quite a seamstress. I've never heard anything about quilts. But I think by the time I came along that quilting wasn't the big thing, and I've always lived around Louisville here. So there just wasn't any in my family that I'm aware of. I just simply got hooked on this on my own.
One thing I realized from the first tape that we didn't have was any mention of if you have children or grandchildren. Would you bring us up to date on that?
Yes, I have.
This is side two, and we are in Helen Hester's living room in Jefferson County. This is Joy Peterson. I have Helen's permission to tape, and this is the JDP number 7 interview. Helen, I believe we were talking about bringing your biographical data up to date on whether you have children or grandchildren.
Yes, I have two children. My daughter, Sandra Palmer, lives in Jefferson Town, and she has four children. Doug is 19 and just entered Western, and Tracy is 15, and Tammy is 13, and Heather is 8. And she's married to Top Palmer. His name's Thomas Owen, but he goes by his initials. And I have a son, Jim, and he has a son, Lee Michael. Sandy is an excellent seamstress, and I have worked with the girls a little bit, the granddaughters a little bit, in quilting, and they show some promise. I think that Sandy may come to quilting eventually. She hasn't shown too much interest in it at the moment because she doesn't have time with four children.
At one point, either on the tape that we didn't get or after we turned the tape off, you were talking about places that you had gone, such as the Nebraska Quilters Meeting and an Arlington Quilters Meeting. I wonder if you would mind, for the tape, telling us a little bit about your recollections or anything of interest about meetings such as either of those or
yes,
any others.
Yes, the symposium in Nebraska was in Lincoln and on the campus of Wesleyan University. And it was quite a large show and quite successful. But the highlight of it for me was Grace Snyder. They showed films about Grace Snyder, who is the Nebraska quilter. And after they showed the films of her life and dismissed us, they said, now you may go into a showroom that was there, and there's a surprise there for you. And when we went in, there was Grace Snyder in her wheelchair. At the time, I think she was 94, and there was her fabulous 87,000 piece quilt with the flower basket that she she originated from a design on a dinner plate. And a lot of her other quilts were there. And I got to look at them and take my own pictures and kind of touch them. And it was a fantastic treat. There were a lot of well-known people there that have since become well-known. And then
were there any other people from Jefferson County?
Yes, Katie Christopherson. That's how I first met Katie, was there when they had a roll call of the states and we stood up. There were three in my crowd and one more lady stood up and I picked her out and introduced myself to her. That was a lot of fun to meet her and then come back and, you know, have so much in common with her.
Who were the three in your group?
Mary Haig and her sister Nell Charlton. Then the year after that we went to Arlington to the, I believe that was the second Quilt Congress.
You don't know the dates on these. Of course, Grace Snyder died, I believe, last fall at 101, so we're probably mm-hmm. talking about 6 or 7 years ago.
It was probably 77 and 78, something like that.
What years did you win prizes down at the museum? Have you got something you could go get? Good.
Hey, Jim?
Yeah.
I just thought it was the only time to call you.
Oh, this is these are your certificates.
These are my certificates.
Oh, great.
October 29, 1977 was the first one. And November 4th, 1978 was the second one. So I'm thinking that that symposium would have been 76 or 7 anyway. And then the one in Arlington would have been 77 or 8. Had I been a little better prepared, I could have dug those dates out for you.
Well, this says the Kentucky Museum Second Annual Quilt Competition, first place beginner awarded to Helen Hester, Western Kentucky University, October 29, 1977. Now that was for your Star of Bethlehem.
Star of Bethlehem.
Quilt. And that is, we went into that in detail on the JDP interview number 6 that was August 29th here. And the other one that I have here is the third annual quilt competition at the Kentucky Museum, first place winner beginner category award to Helen Hester, November 4th, 1978, Western Kentucky University. And that was for
the
Interlock
Square.
Right, and we went into that on that other tape. Well, I'm glad you brought those out. Those are beautiful certificates. It's nice to have them framed.
That tells me that I was wrong back on the tape about the dates. I mean about the shows. I think I said I won the first and second show, but obviously I was wrong.
Second and third.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then fourth was the one that we talked about you had here.
Uh-huh.
Right. So, now, does that give us a date, did you say, on when you went to Nebraska? Does that tie in with when you went to Nebraska or when you went to Arlington?
I think that ties in. If I remember correctly, they were 77 and 78.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because in 78, I went from coast to coast. I made that trip to Arlington. We went all the way on over to the coast on the way up, and then I was home 3 days and flew to San Francisco for a workshop for the Board of Education,
mm-hmm.
and I think that was 78.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about Arlington.
Arlington was also a very nice show. It was, I guess, a little more commercial, but quilt shows are now much more commercial than the first ones were. I do know that was the second Quilt Congress, now whatever year that was. I may be off a little bit. But the workshops, Jenny Beyer was there with her national winner, the Good Housekeeping Contest. She had that quilt. Virginia Avery was there. They gave lectures. There were other well-known people there, too. Grace Snyder's quilts were there again. Grace wasn't along this time, but her daughter, it seems to me her name was Nell, or Nellie. I'm not sure about that, but she brought the quilt collection there, and they were on display again, and I got to see them again and take more pictures. that same year there was a large show in Kansas that also included Carrie Hall's block collection, but I had to go to San Francisco, so we couldn't get to that one. Then, of course, the Natural History and Science Museum here in Louisville had a beautiful show last winter and spring, and I spent all day there. Just last week I went to Lebanon, Ohio, to the Warren County Historical Museum, and that museum is worth anybody's trip. And they had a fabulous collection of old quilts that dated from 1825 to 1900 for the most part.
Are they mostly Amish?
No, they weren't. None of them were Amish. That was strictly local quilts from that Warren County, Ohio, from that area. And they were really nice. I believe that show lasts until about mid-September.
Do you have any plans for any quilt shows? Or is attending the one next year that's in Oxford, Ohio? There's one the end of next June for the National Quilters Association, the same group that had the Bell Buckle, Tennessee one.
I didn't get to the Bell Buckle, Tennessee one. I don't make any definite plans ahead, but often it works out that I do manage to get there. Once I retire and don't have to go to work every day, that's when I plan to make up for lost time.
Are there other things that you have thought about since I saw you on the 29th that you might want to add on this tape?
Well, the first thing comes to my mind is my father and what a craftsman he is. And I guess I get my love for this kind of thing from him. He's talented with his hands. He weaves. He can even crochet. He does punch work. He used to carve all my crochet hooks that I made rag rugs with. And I guess I've sort of inherited this tendency to always be busy with my hands. I can't stand to be idle. I can't stand just to sit down and do nothing. I feel like life is too short. I have too many quilts to make, too many things to do to be sitting doing nothing. And my dad's a lot like that.
How old is he?
He's 84. He and I may have mentioned on the other tape, he and Mom are both 84, and they just celebrated their 65th anniversary last week. And he's in excellent health. I find that I'm like a lot of other people now, that I'm going toward wall quilts and crib quilts and doll quilts simply because that's a quick, easy way to get one made and get some of these old patterns out of my system that I am dying to make.
Is there anything else that you wanted to touch on?
I don't think so. I think that covers my entire...
Well, again, you have my apologies for not having the last tape work out, but I'm certainly glad that we got together again, and it's kind of you to have allowed me to come back so soon, and I think this will make it a better interview because we've gone into things in a little more depth than we did the other time.
Well, I've enjoyed it. You're very welcome.